Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet. Ooh. To help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening. With you for the full four. Asking you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone. Take the Alexa speakers. Take your tablet. Take your turntable. Your Palm Pilot. Your fax machine. Whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be part of the show is to follow us on our personal Twitter pages at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there producing the show on the other side of the glass. Day Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. So, going to be a very heavy college football show with you here tonight. So 9 o'clock, we'll talk to our buddy Chris Goforth, friend of mine, and we'll get the latest from SEC Media Days, which took place in Nashville again today. Georgia, front and center. Doesn't sound like the questions were all that hard. Now, we got so much college football we got to squeeze in. We'll hear from Kirby Smart in the second half of the 840 segment, because we will do a quick What's Bugging Chuckery. But we'll hear from Kirby Smart after that. So he was on with Andy and Randy today. So guys had a little bit of fun with him. But, I don't – from what I read, I mean, it wasn't they didn't go after him as much or whatever. I mean, yeah, maybe there's some softening. I don't know. I mean, you win two national championships. You try to get out in front of some of these stories. It's not been the best offseason for the Georgia Bulldogs. But guess what? When the toe meets leather, it's going to be a bloodletting, and the Bulldogs are going to roll through the regular season. I mean, they'll be 12-0 going into the SEC title game, and whatever happens from there happens from there. So there's no real reason to think that they won't be 12-0. I don't like the competition. I mean, again, South Carolina's cute, Florida's cute, this team is cute. Pat them on the head like they're the old guy in Benny Hill. You know, just pat them on the head and, you know, move them along. You know, pat them, then pat them on the head, on top of the head, and then pat them in the back of the head and just move them along. You know, so we'll talk to our buddy Chris Goforth. We'll also talk with Jonathan Williams from is it UGA Sports or what's it? What's he from?
Dogs Daily.
Dogs Daily. Yeah, something like that. So bark at the moon or whatever it is. Dogs Daily. We talked to him here not too long ago. We'll get his thoughts about you know, what went on at SEC Media Days, and obviously, you know, more about the upcoming season. We'll also get a chance to talk to Chad Bishop. He is the new beat reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So he took over from my buddy Ken Segura. So at Day-Day, you know, Ken and I were at least friends. I mean, we, you know, have each other's phone numbers, and we've met and talked and all that good kind of stuff. So Ken's a good dude. I mean, yeah. He's been with the paper for a long time. You know, we've met and know each other and stuff. So he's a good dude. So Chad Bishop takes over for him. I think Kenny, like I said, I think he's going to feature writing, what Gabe Burns is doing. So
yeah, that's what he. I think that's what he said when you the last time you had him on was like his last. I think that was his last week, wasn't it?
Or well, something like I mean, that? Again, he wanted to make his last personal appearance on my show. So I mean, that's what it was. We'll talk to Chad Bishop and get his thoughts about, you know, where we're at with this Georgia Tech program. I mean, obviously he's new to the beat and this, you know, that and the other. And, you know, again, it's a fresh set of eyes to put on the program. So we'll get a chance at 7:40 to talk with him. Jonathan Williams will be coming up at 8:20. So we'll obviously keep you up to date about everything going on with the Atlanta Braves as they crank things back up here at home after the day off yesterday. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in town to take on the Braves, who are now, just in case, you know, you were wondering, who are now double-digit lead over everybody else in the division. 10 games over the Marlins, 10.5 over the Philadelphia Phillies, 18.5 over the Mets, and the disgraceful, despicable Washington Nationals. They're 24 games up. How about this? The Braves have a 24-game lead on the Nationals, and the Braves have only lost 31 games. So, again, now it's a double-digit lead over everybody. That is clearly, let me put it like this. I think if you take every team that is, let me see, let's do the quick math, Day-Day. You got a calculator? You got a calculator on you?
Pulling it out right now.
All right. So, again, don't make it personal. I mean, so just make the calculator happen. So, all right. You ready?
Ready.
All right. 1 + 1.5 +3.5 +2.5 +1.5. What does that equal?
10.
Okay. So every other division combined has the same lead as what the Braves have in their division. All three American League divisions, the Central and the West in the National League, they're a combined 10 games ahead of their opponents. Braves are 10 games ahead of their divisional foe. Want to talk about if it's over or not? See, again, I can't, you know, Day-Day, we talked about this last week with Dom. I can't even be Sal Lipskitz because, again, my hot takes end up being true. Yeah, we said 3 weeks ago, the division's over. Maybe more than that, more longer than that. Division's over. Division's over. We try to get Sal Lipskitz and, you know, be a hot take guy, and it backfired. Like, the division's over.
Right.
I mean, it turned out to be it didn't turn out to be a proclamation. It turned out to be rock solid truth. Because none of those teams are going to catch Atlanta. So we can't even get hot takey anymore with all of this. Now, this should be a series that the Braves win. Look, Zach Davies is on the mound tonight for the Diamondbacks, okay? Diamondbacks, by the way, are on a 4-game losing streak. Yes, I know. The White Sox won a series, okay. Zach Davies is 1-5 with a 6.37 ERA. 1-5 with a 6.37 ERA. He's got 58 hits and 24 walks in 53 and two-thirds innings. That's a 1.53 whip. Walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. That's a really high whip, okay? Your league leaders are about one. So he's drastically higher than what your, you know, league leaders typically are. So 1-5 with a 6.37 ERA, Braves need to pounce on him early. Pounce on him early and get off to a good start in this series. And, you know, they need it. I mean, again, they're comfortably in front. You know, the Phillies have won a few games in a row, and still they're 10.5 games back. Now the Marlins are double-digit games back. So, again, now 10 o'clock we'll do our kind of our Braves closeout. We'll kind of do a, you know, wrap-up of what happened. We'll open up the phone lines to you. So if you're headed down to the stadium right now, or you're at the stadium listening on the app or what have you, we'll take your thoughts about the Braves game after it's over at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. So we'll get your thoughts about what we saw here tonight. So, and obviously, you know, Braves look to get back on track after, you know, losing a couple of games in a row. No real big deal, but you lost to a bad baseball team. This team is still pretty good. I mean, look, they're 10 games above 500 right now. And actually, they're a good road team, 26-18, but Braves are 30 games above 500. They're now 14 games above 500 at home at 31-17. So this should be a, you know, kind of an ugly matchup. And Bryce Elder's on the mound, 7-2 with a 2.97 ERA. He needs a good start, you know, here tonight. So Braves look to get themselves back on track with everything going on. And, oh, by the way, here is your lineup for this evening. Ronnie, Ozzy, Riley, Olsen, Murphy, Ozuna, Michael Harris, Orlando Arcia, and Sam Hilliard gets the start tonight in left field, giving Eddie Rosario a night off. So, and, of course, Bryce Elder will be on the mound. And, look, we're looking for a good start from him tonight. So kind of needs a bounce-back start for him. So, you know, a little bit of a rough stretch there. You know, last time out, 3 1/3 inning, 7 earned runs. That was not a good outing against the Tampa Bay Rays. So, again, he'd won, I think, what was it, 4 or 5? He had 4 or 5 wins in a row going into that game, but got beat up by the Tampa Bay Rays, which a lot of teams get beat up by the Tampa Bay Rays. But anyway, looking for a bounce-back start tonight, and this certainly should be an offense that he is able to kind of control. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about what goes on with Braves baseball. And then again, 10 o'clock, we will do our closeout show and, you know, recap what we saw tonight and make it all happen. Falcons rookies officially reported today to training camp. So it is officially foosball season for the Atlanta Falcons. So, again, we'll have all of your training camp coverage. We're going to be exclusive at training camp. So our broadcasting starts next Thursday, Thursday, Friday, and then the entire following week we'll be there as we get ready for Falcons preseason coming up. Obviously, you know, again, we'll have all of the coverage right here on the home of the Atlanta Falcons, but exclusive coverage of training camp as it's a little bit different setup this year. By the way, you can get tickets. They're free. You get tickets, but I think, are they?
You
are
have to go online to get them.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I mean, that's what they did last year. The tickets are all free, but you got to go online and get you a ticket to present to them. So, and they got some construction going on and different things like that where we normally set up. So we'll be in a little different spot from what our normal setup is. So we'll be in a different area because all of that area is being, you know, constructed. And sometimes we'll do some of the stuff from the,
The Ticketmaster Studios.
Yeah, or as I do it, from the broom closet. with the guy with the Swiffer, and there's a dustpan, and there's projectors and electronic equipment on carts and stuff like that, you know, in the area where I was. Don't know about you, but, you know, in the area where I was, wasn't really a studio as much as it was a, you know, as much as we were looking for a ventilation shaft, you know, to get oxygen to blow into the room. So anyway, but we'll have all your training camp coverage starting next Thursday as everybody will be up there. Morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy Randy, and then, of course, Dukes and Bell will be at the Hooters at Mall of Georgia, which is kind of like their home away from home, right?
Yeah. For this, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but again, they were big. They were up there last year. Mm-hmm. They've done some other remotes and stuff like that up yep. there before. So this is kind of their home away from home. So, you know, thanks to the fine folks over at the Hooters that take care. And it's not very far from the Flowery Branch area.
Yeah.
So.
And gives the listeners on that side of town.
Right.
Because, you know, outside of Falcons, I don't know how often we go up that way, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, yeah, we're kind of, you know, a lot of times, you know, more in town and things like that. Although we do go to Kennesaw. I mean, so we go in the opposite direction.
Right, the opposite way. Yeah,
so where are we going to be at?
Here.
Huh?
Here.
What?
Here.
Where?
Colony Square.
Oh.
1201.
Oh.
Peachtree.
Can we do a remote in Alpharetta where I don't have to drive 75 miles to get to the studio or anything like that?
I'm sure you could, but I would be here.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyway, well, I feel for you. Well, again, you got to be here, but you got to be here at a decent time. So you got to be here, you know, to make sure Dukes and Bell stay on air. So,
yeah.
Because I don't typically see you till like 6:55 or something like right. that before I get to actually see you. Just because, again, you've got your bigger show commitments to do. So
this
anyway.
Is my bigger show commitment.
Well, again, that's a relative term. That's everything is relative. So
they're all big commitments. All big commitments.
Is that what they are? Okay. is that really what they are? So anyway. All right. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna open up the phone lines to you. 404-726-0929. I'm gonna keep this pretty simple because I'm curious. Again, Desmond Ridder. Here's the question that I'm asking. I want you to give me Desmond Ridder's numbers for this year. I want yards, completion percentage, and touchdown interception. That's all I want. Yards, completion percentage, touchdown interception mark. I'm curious as to what y'all think Desmond Ridder is going to be this year in this offense for this team. I'll give my numbers as well. We'll ask Day-Day his. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, 404-726-0929. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk, crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. Braves about ready to get rolling here. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line that you can be a part of the show. Asking you a simple question. I want to get a feel for what you think Desmond Ridder's numbers are at the end of this season as he takes over the now starting quarterback position. Obviously, the four starts last year, but now going to be the full-time starter, as we assume, barring injuries or disastrous play or something else like that. So, Day-Day, here's what I get, and I'll ask you for your numbers here in just a second. I think Ridder's numbers, and what I'm looking for is yards, completion percentage, touchdown, interception, okay? I think he throws for 2,950 yards, 65% completion, 22 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I think he gets a little bit below 3,000. I don't think they're going to throw it enough for him to be a 3,000-yard quarterback. I think his completion percentage improves a little bit. It was 63.5% in the four games that he started. I think that bumps up a little bit to 65. And again, it'll probably kind of flatten out as he throws the football a little bit more. And I think that he's not reckless with the football, but I think 22-9 is a pretty good number. I could see the touchdown total going up. And if it does, that means we're a really good red zone offense at this point. I like seeing the touchdown number, I think, go up. If he can be 25, 26 touchdowns, will be a really good offense at the end of the day. But I think that that's a pretty good projection on what Desmond Ridder is going to be for this year. So let me ask you, what have you got for Desmond Ridder?
Funny, we're relatively close. I had him at more yardage. I had him at 31-20.
Okay.
I had him at 65%. Yep. Completion rate. I actually had him at 21 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. And to your point, I mean, I think his, you know, and I know you can't, and I remember reading this article. I know you can't necessarily, you know, your college level of play doesn't always necessarily translate to the
sure.
NFL, right? But he proved at Cincinnati that, to your point, he's a great game manager. He can be productive. And I just think that what the Falcons have built offensively, weapons-wise, I think you know, he's just got his utility belt. I really like what's going on with the backfield, tight ends. But like you said, barring injury, like, these guys are going to be dangerous, and he's going to be able to dink and dunk. And, I mean, he doesn't even necessarily have to do a bunch of long balls, honestly, when
right.
you look at it. So
right.
that's why I have him kind of at those numbers.
Yeah, and I think the important stat is when you look, I think it's the touchdown to interception ratio. You know, again, you want to be 2-1. And I think if you're 2.5-1, somewhere close to 3-1, you know, that's where you want to be. And that's again, you start getting into less than 2-1, now you're starting to lose football games. I mean, that it kind of comes to that point, right? There's an old saying in baseball about if you're less than 2-1 stealing bases, then you're costing your team runs. So, again, give us your thoughts. Yards, completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio, 404-726-0929. Let's grab Rob out in Lawrenceville. What's going on tonight, Rob?
Hey, how you doing, Chuck?
Good, buddy. What's going on, man?
I'm good. I'm Raider Rob. I'm a Raider fan, born from New Jersey, but I'm transplanted down here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I've been following you guys and just really learning a whole lot about Atlanta football. But right now, I guess based off the question you're asking, I give them a little more yards than both of you. I give them 3,400. I give them a little bit less completion percentage at 62%, 22 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. And the reason why I'm giving them more yards and a slightly lower, I guess when you think about it, with everything being predicated on the run game, they're going to need to be able to open up some lanes, and they're going to need to have a kind of stretch the defense a little bit. So I do see them taking some shots down the field in order to open up some things underneath for the running game, and then also for the short passing game as well.
Well, and I think to your point too, Rob, that the short passing game with some of the guys that we can throw to can also lead to some big yardage plays. You know, again, with a Bijan Robinson, with Tyler Algier, Kyle Pitts, you don't have to necessarily throw the football down the field. These can be short passes that go for lots of yards. Again, get Bijan Robinson, in the flat with some open field in front of him and watch him operate, or we saw Kyle Pitts turn a couple of quick slants into a whole bunch of yards. So I definitely think that I definitely think that is a distinct possibility. But I will say the only thing that I will downside just in the yardage thing is I just don't know if they throw it enough. I think they're going to be very cautious, especially early on with Desmond Ridder. And I'm not saying that they are going to be afraid to, get any dings and dents and stuff like that on Desmond Ridder, but can't put the ball in harm's way. I mean, that was the thing that really cost them last year is we had a quarterback that way, way too often put the ball in harm's way. And Marcus Mariota was a turnover machine for this team. And I don't think that they want to get into that. We're not talking about them being the same quarterback. I'm just saying that they allowed Marcus Mariota at times to put themselves in way too much danger. And I just think you have to stick to your playing personality. You have to stick to identity. Doesn't mean you can't take some shots and things like that. But again, we saw Marcus Mariota hucking it downfield on first down, and now you're all of a sudden 2nd and 10, or you throw an interception, or just, again, you don't get off on the right foot with the offense, and it just stagnates and stalls at that point. 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Tony out in Smyrna. What's going on, Tony?
What are you doing, Bo?
Hey, bud. What's going on, man?
Crazy as hell. I'm a homer, so I think the dude's going to rock, man. Especially with the offense and whatnot, where we're going to just be powerhouse rushing and all that. I think he's going to get 34 touchdowns, probably 10 interceptions, 3,400 yards. He's going to rock.
Well, again, I appreciate the phone call. Look, if he gets 34 touchdowns, he's, again, even at 3,400 yards, he gets 34 touchdowns, he's going to be in the MVP race. I mean, honestly, if he's 3,400 yards with 34 touchdowns, he's going to be in the MVP discussion at that point. Because that's a stout number. Like, that's Matt Ryan in his MVP year, right? Matt had 35 touchdowns in his MVP year. So that's I think it was 35 touchdowns. Let me look that up real quick. But that is MVP caliber type of season. Yeah, he had 35 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So if he's almost 3.5 to 1, you said 34 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's almost 3.5 to 1. That's a big time number. That will put him in the MVP discussion. Now, also, more importantly, is if that's the kind of number, we're going to be an elite red zone offense. We'll be one of the better offenses in the National Football League. Because, again, our identity is going to be to run the football. Our playing personality is to run the football. That's what our playing personality is. We're going to line up, run behind a very good run-blocking offensive line, and now we've got multiple backs that we can use, all being in different roles, but still, our identity is run the football. And if he's got 34 touchdowns, that would be an amazing number. Again, Matt's biggest year, the MVP year was 38-7 in his MVP year. 2018, he had 35 touchdowns. So you're talking about close to MVP kind of caliber numbers if he's got those kinds of numbers. 404-726-0929. Mel in Southwest Atlanta. Didn't you get banned by Freaky? Weren't you banned by Freaky?
Well, you don't want to talk to me?
No, I'll talk to
you. Are you scared?
No, Mel, listen. Mel, you and I are good friends, right? I mean, listen. You got Lamb Chop, you got Freaky Deaky, you got the Kimmer. So I can be your friend too, right? You got Bortz, right? I mean, all the guys you used to call.
Well, I'm not friends to carpetbaggers when you come to a so-called expert. But you know what? I figured I was going to find out why y'all don't want me to call. But anyhow, look at all your prediction. I'm going to go a little bit higher.
Okay.
You said yards right. You said what?
Yards?
I'm going to say 2,900 yards.
Okay. So that's a little bit low.
I'm going to say 25 touchdowns.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe 65, maybe 70%.
Okay.
When it comes to the other statistics.
Okay.
Because I know what you're doing tonight for people to call in. You're playing radio. But you know what? Just win. I want the Falcons to win, man. I've been in this city all my life.
What do you think about Freaky banning you? Why did Freaky ban you?
I guess he had a caller called in, and I was disappointed in the call.
Okay.
You know.
So we had caller on caller crime? Is that what we had?
Well, I don't need to tell you. It was a prejudice. It was a prejudice call here. And I had to get, I wasn't against him. Uh-huh. I was talking about the caller, what he said.
Do you still call the Kimmer?
Oh, come on, man. The Kimmer's dead. You know that. You know what?
Kimmer's not
You're
dead.
A real copper bagger.
Hold on. Kimmer's not
That's
dead.
What do you do, man? Y'all know them.
Hold on.
All the copper baggers coming south.
Hold on. Pete Davis and I, as producer, follow one another. He's not dead.
Copper baggers. You know what I mean?
Wait a second. You killed off the Kimmer? The Kimmer's not dead. Kimmer's not dead. I think he's actually doing I think he's doing some kind of radio show out there. I'll ask. Pete Davis and I follow each other on Twitter, and sometimes we interact with one another on Twitter. I'll give him a shout, but I don't think the Kimmer's dead. Mel's killing off the Kimmer, or an Atlanta radio legend. Next, you're going to kill off Bortz. Come on, Mel. Why did Mel get banned? Because Freaky Deaky was talking about he banned Mel for like a long time or something.
Yeah, so... A caller, Mel's right, a caller called and said something. But the conversation had to do with, I think, Miami. Forgot what area. But something about Miami, and I forgot what. It was two schools, I believe. And they were talking about where they were geographically and, their surrounding neighborhoods.
Okay.
Mel took something the caller said as prejudice. It wasn't necessarily prejudice. It wasn't right, but it wasn't necessarily prejudice.
Okay. Mel always gets his facts right.
Right.
Mel is always factually correct.
So he called Freaky, or at least Freaky took it as him calling him prejudiced or racist. And so he said, until Mel apologizes, Mel can't come on.
Oh, so he had, so he wanted Mel to apologize.
Yes.
But and so it was kind of caller on caller crime is what it ended up being.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can see, I can appreciate caller on caller crime. We've had some of those moments on the show before and stuff like that. So we've had some caller on caller crime. So, okay. Well, listen, if it was legitimately wrong, you know, or whatever, you know, again, he should apologize to Freaky or the Kimmer. I think you should apologize to the Kimmer, because I don't think the Kimmer's dead.
Well, it says the Kimmer has a show, so.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah, that's right. Oren just texted us. Does Kimmer have a show? I think that Kimmer does. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, so, he does.
Yeah, so the Kimmer's not dead. That's what I was saying. Mel, you need to apologize to the Kimmer. You need to go out to... where does he go out and hang out there on Highway 92 in Roswell? Oh gosh, right next to Van Gogh's. Now I can't remember. Houck's. He does some stuff at Houck's. Go to Mel. You need to go up to Houck's in Roswell and apologize to the Kimmer next time he's there. All right, Chad Bishop, the new beat reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, covering Georgia Tech sports. He will join us coming up next. Chuck in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, ACC Media Days will be cranking up here next week as the SEC will wrap things up this week, and ACC will be front and center next week. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to the new beat writer for Georgia Tech for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his works. Chad Bishop is joining us. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Chad, appreciate the time. Welcome to Atlanta, and congratulations on the new gig as you take over a very historic program in Georgia Tech.
Well, thank you, my friend, and you are my first radio interview as the new Georgia Tech beat writer, so happy to break some ground on that front. But no, I'm really excited. I'm a Gwinnett County boy, a Snellville guy, grew up in Georgia, so kind of a homecoming for me, and to be able to write and work for the AJC is kind of a dream come true, and then to cover a program like Georgia Tech. I mean, the history there, the tradition, it's going to be a lot of fun being in ACC country.
And I believe that, am I right on this? I think you've covered Vanderbilt for the last like 3.5 years. You've been the beat guy for Vanderbilt University.
Yeah, really interesting role up there. I covered Vanderbilt for 247 Sports for about 10 months, and they had an opening on their staff. So I actually worked in the communications department, of kind of a hybrid role between like an SID, but also an in-house beat writer. Like a lot of MLB teams have, like some colleges have. So it was really fun sort of being inside the program and being able to travel around the SEC and cover Vanderbilt, which, you know, in my mind is very similar to Georgia Tech and their history.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, obviously, you know, and I don't say this in a begrudging way or anything like that, but, you know, a couple of academic first types of schools. I mean, they have had success in athletics, and obviously Tech's had a lot of success over the years, but they are, you know, there are academic challenges, you know, when you're looking at recruiting and different things like that. So I would assume that you probably, and again, being from Gwinnett County, you probably have some familiarity with what this program has to offer and what some of the challenges are.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, it is, you know, pretty wild to think that I was at Vanderbilt and got this opportunity to cover Georgia Tech. But because, yeah, again, you're talking about academic institutions who are, you know, held in the highest esteem when it comes to academics. And a lot of the times the fan base, you know, may roll their eyes or get frustrated thinking that the school, the university isn't putting enough time and resources and money into the athletics program. So, you know, I saw that firsthand at Vanderbilt. They had to sort of fight that narrative day in and day out. I mean, they still fight it today. But they're making a lot of improvements, and I think the same can be said about Georgia Tech, right? You know, they have to fight that narrative day in and day out, but I think they've shown a commitment to make some changes to their football facility and their football program and have a new athletic director and some new coaches, you know, and to try to change the fortunes of recent years. So, yeah, it's a very, very similar situation between both schools. We'll see how each, you know, which path they go down here as the future is upon us.
Chad Bishop, the new Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So as Brent Key is going into his first year, what's kind of the vibe that you get of this program when you're kind of covering things and talking to coaches and players and different things? What's kind of the atmosphere and the vibe and the tenor that you're getting from this program right now? Oh, did we lose Chad? Uh-oh. See, again, first time jitters on all of that. So, again, we'll effort to get Chip back up here in just a minute. We will talk to our buddy Chris Goforth coming up at 9 o'clock. Chad, I was asking, as Brent Key goes into his first year here, what's kind of, as you talk to coaches, players, this, that, and the other, what's kind of the vibe and the tenor that you're getting from the Georgia Tech football program? What's kind of the overall feeling about this team going into this season?
I'd say cautious optimism. You know, I've covered first-year coaches, you know, time and time again, and they're all different. They all come into different situations. You know, some are taking over, you know, bowl champs or conference championships. Some are, you know, starting from maybe below ground zero. And I think with Brent Key having been there last year and going through eight games and then, you know, getting the job in late November full time, I think there was kind of a, you know, a sigh of relief, right? All right, Brent Key's the guy now. Let's continue what we're doing. Let's continue building from the 2022 season. So, you know, this is going to be, you know, technically year one on paper, right? But I don't really see it that way. I see it more of like a year 1.5, right? Like he's got some guys back. He had some success last year. He's been in the building for a long time. He played football there, so he can relate to the guys a lot better than maybe some other head coaches. So I think there's some cautious optimism that this isn't, you know, your first-year head coach situation, and if they go 3-9, everybody's going to kind of give him a pass. I think, you know, the bowl game is kind of an expectation for this team to sort of take that next step and sort of rise up the conference standings.
Yeah, and Chad, I'm glad you mentioned that because it does feel like that there has been this lull over the program, and obviously there's not been a lot of success on the football field itself, and they did get themselves to 5-7, but to your point, I think that there has to start becoming some expectation that, again, not winning the Coastal per se or winning the ACC just yet, but certainly getting themselves to a bowl game, getting themselves to at least 500, I think doesn't that have to be kind of the minimum expectation about given, you know, where this program is and just at least taking that first step forward?
I think so. I mean, you know, why else are you fielding a football team, right? Like, why else are you doing it? I mean, if you want to, you know, be one of the cream of the crop of the ACC and compete with the Clemsons and the Florida States, well, you know, it's time to start going out there and doing that with a new athletic director and a new coach. So, yeah, year one, right? Let's all think, okay, you know, bowl game is a good expectation, maybe a 6-6, 7-5. But, you know, as this moves forward here, we got to see some progress, and we got to see this football program get to that next level and that next tier. To me, there's not a lot of excuses for my book. I always joke about what I call the excuse train. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anybody making excuses when you see what Northwestern has done in the past and what Stanford has done in the past. I mean, look what Wake Forest has done in the ACC. So, you know, there should be no excuses, you know, ever really for any program. You should be able to figure it out no matter what your limitations are. We're going to say, okay, year one, let's see if they can get to a bowl game. But after that, there's going to have to be some upward mobility and some upward trajectory.
You know, when you look at that side of the division in, you know, now, again, with the ACC going into non-divisional format now. So, again, where do you think that places Tech in the overall scheme of things? Do you think that makes it harder for them in the ACC, or – Was it better for them to be in a division? I mean, where do you kind of see them in the pecking order of the way the ACC kind of checks out now?
Yeah, I don't know if it makes much of a difference when you talk about divisions. If you want to break it down into tiers, right, maybe they start 2023 in that tier three level, right, fighting for that 6-6, that bowl spot. You know, they're probably not on paper going to fight for that ACC championship unless they just really surprise us all. Can they get to 8-9 wins? You know, probably not. So you kind of put them down there in that middle of the pack and see if they can sort of, you know, steal a win or two and sneak up to that second tier going into this year, obviously. Now we need to see what happens moving forward. They've been killing it in recruiting so far, have one of the better recruiting classes that they've probably ever had historically. I know it's early. It's only July, right? So we'll see what the future holds there. But, yeah, I don't think the divisional play is going to make much difference for them as it comes to the standings. To me, they're in that tier three level right now and then got to show they can maybe get to that tier two and then sustain it to where they can build and maybe get to that conference championship level type program.
And you know, the schedule itself, you know, there's the ACC schedule and then there's everything else because, again, they got to go to Ole Miss where they got, you know, they got drubbed on their home field last year by Ole Miss. But Ole Miss won't be easy, obviously playing Georgia, you know, then at Clemson. But when you look at the rest of the ACC schedule, look, Louisville, Wake Forest, Miami, BC, Carolina, Virginia. Like, I think there's a lot of winnable games on that schedule. But I will say that they've got to get it done, I think, week one in the Benz and get themselves off to a good start. Because if you can't beat Louisville in almost a de facto home game, I'm not really sure what the direction of this thing is going to go as far as themselves in the ACC.
Well, that's a great point because if we talk about being maybe that tier three middle of the pack team, you know, how do you get to that next tier? Well, then maybe you got to beat these sort of quote unquote 50-50 toss up games, right? Mm-hmm. Your Louisville's, maybe your Wake Forest on a you know rebuilding situation. You got to beat Bowling Green at home. Can you win at Miami? Right? Like you got to when Boston College comes to town, you know that's a game you got to win. You got to sort of win these coin flips toss up games where maybe the matchups are even, or maybe you're even a slight field goal underdog, and that's how you sort of get over the hump and get to that next level. Clemson, Georgia, Ole Miss on the road, you know, you can put a big L on paper for those at the moment. But some of these other games, you got to figure out a way to get them and show the fan base, show the alumni, show the boosters that you're going in the right direction, and this thing is moving toward bowl games and beyond.
What have you heard, seen about Haynes King? I mean, obviously, you know, some anticipation about him coming into the program, coming from Texas A&M, maybe really didn't live up to the hype at A&M. But, again, you get a fresh start here at Georgia Tech. Is there a lot of buzz surrounding him? Is there a lot of excitement about, you know, potentially him taking over that quarterback spot?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, programs don't sign transfers for the kids to be backups, right? They want them to come in and win those starting jobs. I mean, Brent Key was at the Atlanta Touchdown Club last week, and, you know, he told the crowd there he didn't have a starting quarterback yet, and he's not sure if he's going to have one until, you know, the week of the game. But, you know, Haynes King is going to come in and battle for that job, and I think he's going to add, you know, some excitement to that quarterback room, and maybe he makes all those quarterbacks better by pushing everyone. Does he win the starting job? I don't know. Do they go with a two-quarterback system? I'm not a fan of that personally, but, you know, it rarely works, but that could be an issue too, especially if he wins the starting job that first week and maybe doesn't get it done. So we'll see how that plays out in fall camp. I think it's probably been a very competitive battle throughout the summer. And we'll kind of see on August 1st when they get there and start putting the pads on and start practicing if he's taking the number one reps or if he's trying to fight for that starting job come the opener.
The offense for Georgia Tech, you know, when we look at it, They were last in third down conversions. You know, they were not a very good, you know, offense overall, passing offense. I think they were last in the ACC. How much of a jump can this team take this year offensively for this football team?
I don't know how much they can, but I know they have to, right? I mean, the Buster Faulkner and his offensive staff have got to figure out a way to put some points on the scoreboard because I think everybody thinks that defense is going to be pretty competitive and going to be pretty sound. But, you know, Brent Key being a former offensive lineman and Buster Key being the former offensive prowess he was as a player, they got to figure out a way to be inventive, you know, to sort of create an identity, maybe not do the same things that everybody else in the world is doing and try to put the ball in the end zone. I know adding a bunch of transfers, you mentioned Haynes King being one of them, and some high-level recruits on that side of the ball is going to help. But, you know, how can they be disciplined? How can they not beat themselves? How can they put points on the board at a higher level than they did last year? I know it all sounds very simple, but it wasn't able to happen in 2022. So they got to figure out a way to do it in 23 to be competitive, because we know the ACC has got some teams, you know, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Clemson, obviously not last year, but in years past, who can put points on the board. So you got to figure out a way to keep up.
Last question for you. What about the buzz around Dominic Blaylock? I mean, obviously at the University of Georgia, you know, injuries really just derailed his time at Georgia. Is he healthy? Is he looking good? I mean, what's kind of the prognosis for Dominic Blaylock as now he moves over to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I haven't, to be quite honest, haven't heard anything on his health status, but, you know, we got, you know, a month and a half till the opener now, so we'll kind of check up on him when fall camp begins. I think the biggest thing that Dominique will provide, obviously, is a great locker room presence and a guy who's been there and seen it and played football at the highest level and seen football played at the highest level from the premier program in the country. So some of those intangibles, right, are going to be valuable coming into the locker room, and not necessarily coming in and saying, hey, this is what we did at Georgia, but saying, hey, you know, this is how things are probably done the right way. This is how you get better. And I think he's, you know, like got a new lease on life. Anytime you get a kid in who maybe, like you said, has been through some injuries and maybe hasn't performed at the level he's wanted to, you know they're going to be hungry and going to provide a spark to that offense. So they're going to need him to do that because, again, got to find some guys who can put the ball in the end zone.
Georgia Tech's new beat writer, Chad Bishop, he writes for the AJC, AJC.com. is where you can check out all of his work. Follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Chad, join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Chad, really appreciate the time, buddy. We're going to be in touch all season long, and look forward to talking with you through this football season, and congratulations again on the new gig.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. Look forward to talking to you all season.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. Bleacher Report regrades the Jesse Bates move, among other things, in the NFL. Talk about that next. Chuck Rennie, Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, ACC Media Days will be cranking up here next week as the SEC will wrap things up this week, and ACC will be front and center next week. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to the new beat writer for Georgia Tech for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com, is where you can check out all of his works. Chad Bishop is joining us. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Chad, appreciate the time. Welcome to Atlanta, and congratulations on the new gig as you take over a very historic program in Georgia Tech.
Well, thank you, my friend, and you know, you are my first radio interview as the new Georgia Tech beat writer, so happy to break some ground on that front. But no, I'm really excited. I'm a Gwinnett County boy, a Snellville guy, grew up in Georgia. So kind of a homecoming for me, and to be able to write and work for the AJC is kind of a dream come true. And then to cover a program like Georgia Tech, I mean, the history there, the tradition, it's going to be a lot of fun being in ACC country.
And I believe that, am I right on this? I think you've covered Vanderbilt for the last like 3.5 years. You've been the beat guy for Vanderbilt University?
Yeah, really interesting role up there. I covered Vanderbilt for 247 Sports for about 10 months, and they had an opening on their staff. So I actually worked in the communications department of kind of a hybrid role between like an SID, but also an in-house beat writer. You know, like a lot of MLB teams have, like some colleges have. So it was really fun sort of being inside the program and being able to travel around the SEC and cover Vanderbilt, which, you know, in my mind is very similar to Georgia Tech in their history.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, obviously, you know, and I don't say this in a begrudging way or anything like that, but, you know, a lot of, you know, a couple of academic first types of schools. I mean, they have had success in athletics, and obviously Tech's had a lot of success over the years, but they are, you know, there are academic challenges, you know, when you're looking at recruiting and different things like that. So I would assume that you probably, and again, being from Gwinnett County, you probably have some familiarity with what this program has to offer and what some of the challenges are.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, it is, you know, pretty wild to think that I was at Vanderbilt and got this opportunity to cover Georgia Tech. But because, yeah, again, you're talking about academic institutions who are, you know, held in the highest esteem when it comes to academics. And a lot of the times the fan base, you know, may roll their eyes or get frustrated thinking that the school, the university isn't putting enough time and resources and money into the athletics program. So, I saw that firsthand at Vanderbilt. They had to sort of fight that narrative day in and day out. I mean, they still fight it today. But they're making a lot of improvements, and I think the same can be said about Georgia Tech, right? You know, they have to fight that narrative day in and day out, but I think they've shown a commitment to make some changes to their football facility and their football program and have a new athletic director and some new coaches, you know, and to try to change the fortunes of recent years. So, yeah, it's a very, very similar situation between both schools. We'll see how each, you know, which path they go down here as the future is upon us.
Chad Bishop, the new Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So as Brent Key is going into his first year, what's kind of the vibe that you get of this program when you're kind of covering things and talking to coaches and players and different things? What's kind of the atmosphere and the vibe and the tenor that you're getting from this program right now? Oh, did we lose Chad? See, again, first time jitters on all of that. So, again, we'll effort to get Chip back up here in just a minute. We will talk to our buddy Chris Goforth coming up at 9 o'clock. Chad, I was asking, as Brent Key goes into his first year here, what's kind of, as you talk to coaches, players, this, that, and the other, what's kind of the vibe and the tenor that you're getting from the Georgia Tech football program? What's kind of the overall feeling about this team going into this season?
I'd say cautious optimism. I've covered first-year coaches, time and time again, and they're all different. They all come into different situations. Some are taking over, bowl champs or conference championships. Some are, starting from maybe below ground zero. And I think with Brent Key having been there last year and going through eight games and then, getting the job at late November full time, I think there was kind of a, sigh of relief, right? All right, Brent Key's the guy now. Let's continue what we're doing. Let's continue building from the 2022 season. So, this is going to be, technically year one on paper, right? But I don't really see it that way. I see it more of like a year 1.5, right? Like he's got some guys back. He had some success last year. He's been in the building for a long time. He played football there, so he can relate to the guys a lot better than maybe some other head coaches. So I think there's some cautious optimism that this isn't, your first-year head coach situation, and if they go 3-9, everybody's going to kind of give them a pass. I think, the bowl game is kind of an expectation for this team to sort of take that next step and sort of rise up the conference standings.
Yeah, and Chad, I'm glad you mentioned that because it does feel like that there has been this lull over the program, and obviously there's not been a lot of success on the football field itself, and they did get themselves to 5-7, but to your point, I think that there has to start becoming some expectation that, again, not winning the Coastal per se or winning the ACC just yet, but certainly getting themselves to a bowl game, getting themselves to at least 500, I think doesn't that have to be kind of the minimum expectation about given, where this program is and just at least taking that first step forward?
I think so. I mean, why else are you fielding a football team, right? Like, why else are you doing it? I mean, if you want to, be one of the cream of the crop of the ACC and compete with the Clemsons and the Florida States, well, it's time to start going out there and doing that with a new athletic director and a new coach. So, yeah, year one, right? Let's all think, okay, bowl game is a good expectation, maybe a 6-6, 7-5. But, as this moves forward here, we got to see some progress, and we got to see this football program get to that next level and that next tier. To me, there's not a lot of excuses for my book. I always joke about what I call the excuse train. Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anybody making excuses when you see what Northwestern has done in the past and what Stanford has done in the past. I mean, look what Wake Forest has done in the ACC. So, there should be no excuses, ever really for any program. You should be able to figure it out no matter what your limitations are. We're going to say, okay, year one, let's see if they can get to a bowl game. But after that, there's going to have to be some upward mobility and some upward trajectory.
You know, when you look at that side of the division in, now again with the with the ACC going into non-divisional format now. So again, where do you think that places Tech in the overall scheme of things? Do you think that makes it harder for them in the ACC, or was it better for them to be in a division? I mean, where do you kind of see them in the pecking order of the way the ACC kind of checks out now?
Yeah, I don't know if it makes much of a difference when you talk about divisions. If you want to break it down into tiers, right, maybe they start 2023 in that tier three level, right, fighting for that 6-6, that bowl spot. They're probably not on paper going to fight for that ACC championship unless they just really surprise us all. Can they get to 8-9 wins? Probably not. So you kind of put them down there in that middle of the pack and see if they can sort of steal a win or two and sneak up to that second tier, pointing to this year, obviously. Now we need to see what happens moving forward. They've been killing it in recruiting so far, have one of the better recruiting classes that they've probably ever had historically. I know it's early. It's only July, right? So we'll see what the future holds there. But, yeah, I don't think the divisional play is going to make much difference for them as it comes to the standings. To me, they're in that tier three level right now and then got to show they can maybe get to that tier two and then sustain it to where they can build and maybe get to that conference championship level type program.
And the schedule itself, there's the ACC schedule and then there's everything else because, again, they got to go to Ole Miss where they got, they got drubbed on their home field last year by Ole Miss, but Ole Miss won't be easy. Obviously playing Georgia, then at Clemson. But when you look at the rest of the ACC schedule, look, Louisville, Wake Forest, Miami, BC, Carolina, Virginia. Like, I think there's a lot of winnable games on that schedule. But I will say that they've got to get it done, I think, week one in the Benz and get themselves off to a good start. Because if you can't beat Louisville in almost a de facto home game, I'm not really sure what the direction of this thing is going to go as far as themselves in the ACC.
Well, that's a great point, because if we talk about being maybe that tier three middle of the pack team, you know, how do you get to that next year? Well, then maybe you got to beat these sort of quote-unquote 50-50 toss-up games, right? Mm-hmm. Your Louisville's, maybe your Wake Forest on a you know, rebuilding situation. You got to beat Bowling Green at home. Can you win at Miami, right? Like, you got to – when Boston College comes to town, you know, that's a game you got to win. You got to sort of win these coin flips, toss-up games where maybe the matchups are even, or maybe you're even a slight field goal underdog, and that's how you sort of get over the hump and get to that next level. Clemson, Georgia, Ole Miss on the road, you know, you can put a big L on paper for those at the moment. But some of these other games, you got to figure out a way to get them and show the fan base, show the alumni, show the boosters that you're going in the right direction. And this thing is moving toward bowl games and beyond.
What have you heard, seen about Haynes King? I mean, obviously, you know, some anticipation about him coming into the program, coming from Texas A&M, maybe really didn't live up to the hype at A&M, but again, you get a fresh start here at Georgia Tech. Is there a lot of buzz surrounding him? Is there a lot of excitement about, you know, potentially him taking over that quarterback spot?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, programs don't sign transfers for the kids to be backups, right? They want them to come in and win those starting jobs. I mean, Brent Key was at the Atlanta Touchdown Club last week, and, you know, he told the crowd there he didn't have a starting quarterback yet, and he's not sure if he's going to have one until, you know, the week of the game. But, you know, Haynes King is going to come in and battle for that job, and I think he's going to add, you know, some excitement to that quarterback room, and maybe he makes all those quarterbacks better by pushing everyone. Does he win the starting job? I don't know. Do they go with a two-quarterback system? I'm not a fan of that personally, but, you know, it rarely works, but that could be an issue too, especially if he wins the starting job that first week and maybe doesn't get it done. So we'll see how that plays out in fall camp. I think it's probably been a very competitive battle throughout the summer. And we'll kind of see on August 1st when they get there and start putting the pads on and start practicing if he's taking the number one reps or if he's trying to fight for that starting job come the opener.
The offense for Georgia Tech, you know, when we look at it, They were last in third down conversions. You know, they were not a very good, you know, offense overall, passing offense. I think they were last in the ACC. How much of a jump can this team take this year offensively for this football team?
I don't know how much they can, but I know they have to, right? I mean, the Buster Faulkner and his offensive staff have got to figure out a way to put some points on the scoreboard, because I think everybody thinks that defense is going to be pretty competitive and going to be pretty sound. But, you know, Brent Key being a former offensive lineman and Buster Key being the former offensive prowess he was as a player, they got to figure out a way to be inventive, you know, to sort of create an identity, maybe not do the same things that everybody else in the world is doing and try to put the ball in the end zone. I know adding a bunch of transfers, you mentioned Haynes King being one of them, and some high-level recruits on that side of the ball is going to help. But, you know, how can they be disciplined? How can they not beat themselves? How can they put points on the board at a higher level than they did last year? I know it all sounds very simple, but it wasn't able to happen in 2022. So they got to figure out a way to do it in 23 to be competitive, because we know the ACC has got some teams, you know, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Clemson, obviously not last year, but in years past, who can put points on the board. So you got to figure out a way to keep up.
Last question for you. What about the buzz around Dominic Blaylock? I mean, obviously at the University of Georgia, you know, injuries really just derailed his time at Georgia. Is he healthy? Is he looking good? I mean, what's kind of the prognosis for Dominic Blaylock as now he moves over to Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I haven't, to be quite honest, haven't heard anything on his health status. But, you know, we got, you know, a month and a half till the opener now, so we'll kind of check up on him when fall camp begins. I think the biggest thing that Dominic will provide, obviously, is a great locker room presence and a guy who's been there and seen it and played football at the highest level and seen football played at the highest level from the premier program in the country. So some of those intangibles, right, are going to be valuable coming into the locker room, and not necessarily coming in and say, hey, this is what we did at Georgia, but saying, hey, you know, this is how things are probably done the right way. This is how you get better. And I think he's, you know, like, got a new lease on life. Anytime you get a kid in who maybe, like you said, has been through some injuries and maybe hasn't performed at the level he's wanted to, you know they're going to be hungry and going to provide a spark for that offense. So they're going to need him to do that because, again, got to find some guys who can put the ball in the end zone.
Georgia Tech's new beat writer, Chad Bishop, he writes for the AJC, AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. Follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop. Chad, join me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Chad, really appreciate the time, buddy. We're going to be in touch all season long and look forward to talking with you through this football season. And congratulations again on the new gig.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. Look forward to talking to you all season.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, will be time for the Falcons flyover. Bleacher Report regrades the Jesse Bates move, among other things, in the NFL. Talk about that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.